Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today's a special day for me because we get to talk with someone whose work has profoundly shaped my thinking, especially my younger years as a Christian. During my formative years as a young adult, it was Francis Frangipane's work that taught me about Christ-likeness, about what it means to live with an unoffendable heart, about how to process your wounds in a Christ-like way, about the importance of humility and the power of seeking a truly intimate walk with the Lord Jesus. And I quote him all the time. And I remember one time, it's a couple of years ago, and I quoted Francis. Somebody said, Francis Frangipane, they didn't know of him. And they said, is that a famous dead guy? I'm like, no, he's a famous alive guy. But I know that we're going to be quoting him long after he's gone. He is a wordsmith to me. I think every line in his books just packs such a punch. This is what he writes. True holiness does not come from following rules. It comes from following Christ. The path toward true holiness, therefore, is a path full of both life and death, perils and blessings. It's a path upon which you will be challenged, empowered, provoked, and crucified. But you will not be disappointed. If it is God you seek, it is God you will find. Well, today we're discussing a book that was actually published in 1986. And while it was a powerful read back then, I think it's even a timelier message today. The title of the book, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God, a penetrating study of the human heart and how God prepares it for His glory. And thanks to Francis's ministry, we've got 5 copies to give away today. This is not a book to be taken lightly or read quickly. Again, he packs so much in every sentence. You want to take your time with it. I'm going to get Francis on in just a minute. Quick announcement, we as a staff and a bunch of our listeners are going through the Gospel of Luke through this month, and each day we're reading a chapter, and every day or two I'm recording some devotional content. This is a live radio show, but the live show goes to podcast right afterwards. Well, up in our podcast lineup, you'll see some of those devotional thoughts about what it means to prepare a way for the Lord, what it means to prepare for the more that He wants to bring you. You can check it out. Just go to your favorite podcast player, search for my name, and you'll see the Midday Show come right up. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Francis Frangipane is the founder of River of Life Ministries in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He's traveled throughout the world ministering to thousands of pastors and intercessors from many backgrounds. Francis's heartfelt prayer is to see established in every city Christ-like pastors and intercessors united before God, revealing the love of Christ to their communities. In 2009, he retired from his position as senior pastor of River of Life Ministries. In this more simplified life, Frangipane is currently devoting himself to prayer in the ministry of God's Word. And I'm just so honored to have you with us today. Pastor Francis, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor and a blessing to be here with you.
Looking forward to our conversation. And Francis, we start every day talking scripture, and I know you're someone who immerses yourself in the Word of God. What's God speaking to you about these days that you can share with us?
You know, when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, you know, He answered them with one of the most profound prayers that people don't pray. But it's one of the most profound prayers. It's the Our Father. It's Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Honored and hallowed is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, just I go for a walk each morning, you know, and that verse, this is how Jesus prayed. This is how He communicated the standards and the possibilities of heaven being manifest through us, it coming in and it's answered to prayer that we can participate. You know, one of the things that one of the things that people get struggling with is just maintaining their love. They can keep the outer appearance of their religion, but they lose track of their love. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I so genuinely love is I love going for these walks. And I try and pray that prayer every single day. Lord, no matter what circumstances you have set before me, I pray, Lord, that your will would be done through me. Mm-hmm. And the possibilities are for heaven to manifest on earth. It's not just praying because our friend is hurt or we're getting older and we can't do the things we used to do and those kind of help me, Lord, prayers. It's we can have heaven. We can have that life, that fullness of life. We can walk that out. And so I think that that's been a very familiar prayer for me.
Mm.
Thy
well,
kingdom come.
Amen. Thy will be done. Well, as much as you feel led to share, give us a little just backstory on your faith journey and the way that God has led you, really in a way that's inspired the message that so consistently comes out of you of Christlikeness, of humility, of God's presence.
Well, when I first came to Christ, it was 1971, and I had never read the Bible. I had grown up in a religion, but nothing that emphasized the Word of God. And I drifted, and it was a weird time in America anyway. But I was going through the Bible. I was reading in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58 is what I happened to have been reading. And Isaiah 58, it was interesting. It was, when I was a very young Christian, I went to sleep and I had this vision. I had this amazing vision. I saw a city. It was cloaked in darkness, terrible darkness. And it looked like it was impossible for there to be any move of God, anything along the line of spiritual, everything looked like it was desolate and beyond repair. And so I'm a new Christian. I don't even know if you can have visions. I don't have any point of reference to it just happened. I didn't need a doctrine to prove it. It was there. So I see this thing, and as people were coming out of the city, we began to pray for them. It was a group of people, and as we prayed, people were calling on the name of the Lord, and thousands. It was an incredible, amazing move of God occurred. Well, and there was also, I should say, there was this radiance, Susan, this light that just shone off of our faces. Power moved through our hands, and all the folks that were coming out of these cities, they were calling on the name of the Lord, and they were receiving salvation. And I mean, it was amazing to me. I felt the power of this. I felt that river of living water, that light that quenches our thirst. I was clothed in us and coming forth through us. And that morning, I opened my Bible and I read the next chapter. I read Isaiah 59 the day before. Then I read Isaiah 60. And Isaiah 60, which I read for the first time or saw for the first time, Isaiah 60 begins like this: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It said, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Well, this was an amazing revelation of what the possibilities would be during my lifetime. That this glory of God's living presence, this radiance of his presence coming forth through us at a time when people were saying the place is desolate, the time is past, during that time, God had another move. And I want to just tell your listeners, God has another move. Mm-hmm. He's not done with us. And I was reading at that same time, way back in 71, I was reading in the New Testament, Jesus and feeding the 5,000. And here's this amazing time. The disciples came up to him and said, Master, they've been here 3 days. I mean, how can we feed them? There's so many. And he said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. So they took bread. He took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he fed the multitudes. Well, you have to understand, I'm kind of like in this spiritual bubble. I mean, in another world. I'm amazed at what is happening in my life in Isaiah 60 in the vision. But when I'm reading Matthew chapter 14 and he talks about the feeding of the 5,000, my heart is pumping. It's like my eyes are full of tears. And the reason why in particular was because my last name, Frangipane, means to break bread. That's the Italian translation of my name. It means to break bread. Jesus broke bread. The disciples were saying, the time is already past. Send the multitudes away. And Jesus is saying, they don't. I've got another move planned. I'm gonna feed these people. I'm not just going to send them away hungry. And so you ask how my faith walk starts with that Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah, and it carries on how nations will come to our light and kings to the brightness of our rising. And also it underscores that there's a time when the glory of God is going to be revealed and that we should be in preparation. And I think without a vision, people perish. Mm-hmm. But if we have vision, if we can see what the possibilities are, then we'll prioritize those possibilities over our fears, over our materialism, over our distractions. If our eye is single, our whole body will be full of light with no dark part in it at all.
Let's pause here, Pastor. Talking to Francis Frangipane. I've always called you Francis Frangipane. It's Frangipane, huh?
Yeah, it's Frangipane.
That's good to know. Bless your heart. Sorry about that. I've been reading your stuff for years. You're so gracious. Finger paint to frying pan. We're going to pause here talking to author Pastor Francis Frangipane. The book we're talking about is Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. And one of the things that Pastor says is humility always precedes holiness. So you can't go the path of holiness when your heart is filled with pride, self-righteousness, condemning everybody else, not looking at your own sin. It's a painful, beautiful process. We'll talk about that on the other side. Carrie Faye texts in. She says, hey, Pastor, it's Carrie from River of Life. I knew you were going to be on today. I had to text and say, thank you for grounding my faith, given to me by God through you. It's carried me through some really dark times. I'll be forever grateful. Your books, your classes, and truth have been such a blessing to many. You are so loved and so missed. That's from Carrie Faye. Isn't that great? And we will be back in just a minute. So much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to author, he's a retired pastor, Francis Frangipane, and his book, I read back when it came out in 1986, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. And it just had a big impact on me. He's stepping out of retirement for us to, I mean, he's still ministering the gospel, but just so kind of him to give us some time today. And one of the things you write in the book, Francis, is our minds tend to justify everything we believe, whether it's true or not. The final proof that our doctrines are correct is evidenced in our lives. And then you quote 1 John 2:5-6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. So speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, there's Jesus spoke about the result of abiding in him. And this is where, when I wrote Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God, this is the, you know, the substructure of all change, all transformation. It begins with humility, and it comes to that place of seeing our need along the route to holiness, seeing what needs to change. We can't expect realistically to fill our hearts with the abiding presence of the Lord and be successful in that quest if we don't have humility, because God only gives grace to the humble. We change by humbling ourselves, but God only gives grace. And that's the ability to change. Grace is God's promise to do for me what I can't do for myself. And so when I say I want to change and I want to be like Christ, I'm beginning a process. And that process is to capture my thoughts. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 talks about the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, and he speaks about that we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we're ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is made complete. So that quality of life, of seeing the need, seeing the world, not excusing ourselves, not tolerating things that are wrong, throwing off the deceitfulness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of Christianity is bundled up in becoming like Christ, you know, and I think that at the end of this age, we're going to see, Susie, we're going to see the greatest outpouring of God's grace. There's going to be, as it says in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom of heaven will be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. There's a time when the move of God, he's going to gather those that are called, predestined, and we're going to see it. I don't care how it looks right now. There's something great coming.
You know, we just had Tom Phillips on, and he's the vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He has said the same thing, as well as other guests, that the atmosphere is really ripe for a revival, because revival always seems to come on the heels of absolute spiritual barrenness, desolation, yeah, people mocking God, that kind of thing. And intercessors are praying for that right now. And I believe that with everything in me. You write this too. Yeah. You said Jesus did not condemn sinners. He condemned hypocrites. A hypocrite is a person who excuses his own sin while condemning the sins of another. We cannot remain hypocrites and at the same time find holiness. So if you would, Francis, make the distinction between kind of a pious religiosity and true holiness.
Well, true holiness is the result of God in Christ abiding in us. We can study, we can apply ourselves, you know, and those things are good. The problem is that they mask our heart, you know, they mask us. We have this tendency. You know, we come to church for the first time, we're somebody brings us, they talk to us about Christ. We're all excited about it. We look around. Everybody seems perfect. Everybody's hands are lifted. Everybody's happy. Everybody is. And you give your life to the Lord, but you're still, you've got this mask. You know, we've got this barrier between us and what we thought we were going to get. We find ourselves in this difficult thing. We didn't plan to be hypocrites. It's just that our salvation experience to us doesn't seem to fulfill everything we thought all these people in church. Am I making sense? Do you understand what I mean? Kind of.
Yeah.
well, we develop a mask. It's our church mask. We put it on when we go to church. It's got a smile. It's permanent. And it's you know, it's the us that we want the world to see and know and think is really us. And just like the Lord met Paul on the road to Damascus, so the Lord has to meet us on the road to demask us. And when that demasking comes, we know it. We know we're exposed. We know we're not able to hide this. And God has to save us. He has to save us from a false growth pattern, a branch that is not bearing fruit. And you know, Jesus said that the branch that abides in him will bear fruit. So we look, and if we're at all sensitive to the Spirit, we'll realize when the Lord begins to confront us. He doesn't confront us. He's not throwing rocks at us. He's not, but he has to kill the old nature. He said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose it for me, if you lose it, you give it up, you'll bear fruit. And so, there's this context of in our spiritual journey where it seems maybe even that the Lord is that he's mad at us. He's not. He's just trying to break the outer shell, that mask. He's trying to demask us so that we can be real, so that we can be genuine. And you know, during our lives, we have times when the Lord must break us, and we wonder, is he mad at me, or what is he? He's not. He was done with mad at the cross, you know. Hmm. He's not mad. He's changing us. But he's going to...
I'm so sorry. We've got a hard break here, but I was going to say, thinking of Hebrews where you were talking, don't lose heart and don't make light when the Lord, because he disciplines those he loves. We tend to shrug it off like it's nothing, or we lose heart like we're nothing. We're something and it's something, but he, a good father, is disciplining those he loves. I'm talking to Francis Frangipane. His book, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. It's actually an old book, but we've got five copies. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Just give me Jesus. Just give me let that play out a little bit. Thanks for tuning in Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to retired pastor and author Francis Frangipane, and his book I read back in the 80s when it came out. It's an old book from 1986, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. And he's so kind to give us some time today to talk about it. Believe it or not, his ministry is offering five copies. I really did underline probably almost every line in the first two chapters. But the whole idea of humbling ourselves before God so he can do a great work. And if you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Listen to what Francis writes here. In our desire to know God, we must discern this about the Almighty. He resists the proud, but his grace is drawn to the humble. Humility brings grace to our need, and grace alone can change our hearts. Humility, therefore, is the substructure of transformation. It's the essence of all virtues. At some phase in each of our lives, we will be confronted with the impurities of our hearts. The Holy Spirit reveals our sinfulness not to condemn us, but to establish humility and deepen the knowledge of our personal need for grace. It's at this crossroad that both holy men and hypocrites are bred. Those who become holy see their need and fall prostrate before God for deliverance. Those who become hypocrites are they who, in seeing their sin, excuse it and thus remain intact. Though all men must eventually stand at this junction, few are they who embrace the voice of truth. Few are they indeed who will walk humbly toward true holiness. Therefore, sanctification starts not with rules, but with forsaking of pride. Purity begins with our determined refusal to hide from the condition of our hearts. Out of self-discovery comes forth humility, and in meekness, true holiness grows. That is so powerful. Francis says, you know, I would say, and I'm thinking you would agree, but you tell me what you think. But I've gone through this in plenty of stages. It seems like there's an ebb and flow where when it's just time, the Lord turns the light up a little brighter. I see myself a little clearer and I fall down on my face. But it seems to always precede something new in the Lord. And it's easy to come under condemnation, but that's not what he wants.
Right. And you know, you said that really well. But, you know, when God created man or created the universe and the planet Earth, the scripture says that there was darkness and there was light, you know. Darkness first and then light. And the darkness is where God teaches us how to walk by faith, so that we're not going by what our eyes see or our ears hear, but we see him who is invisible. And in that time of darkness, of breaking, in that time is where we become in touch with the reality of what we need. It's where we see what can't be seen. That place and that's where the fruit comes. That's where the work that God predestined from the foundation of the world, that's where he begins that eternal work, that eternal excavation of the heart, that going deeper. See, the Father sees in secret. He sees. He knows if you've been bad or good. You know, he knows. There's nothing hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that open and laid bare, I mean, just think about it, to be open. We do everything the opposite of what God wants. We're closed off and we're not there. We have a little ambassador, the ambassador of me. It's not me. It's what I want people to think is me. And that little ambassador has to die. He's not real anyway. And so in the course of our spiritual existence, God, just like you said, God will arrange a rendezvous with us to break us. And in that breaking, our quest in that breaking is to find, what does God want? What is, and that boils down to Christ-likeness. That's what he's after. He doesn't want us to fake our Christianity. He wants to make our Christianity. He wants to be the stuff of what eternal life is to us, so that there's us and there's God. And you look at Paul. Paul, he went through so many things, and he spoke about the mortal, the mortal side of life, that it has to broke. God, that it has to break. And if we could just see that God causes all things to work together for good, if we could see that what was happening to us right at that moment, we could agree with the purpose of God. I had an experience experience. It lasted 3 years and some months. I was out. I was not pastoring. I was living with my wife and 6 kids in a little farmhouse in Iowa. And I was grieved in my heart because my identity was with my job as a minister. And I was wrapped up in that. And I needed a church. And all the energies that I had, I was expending, I was getting nowhere. And every day I prayed the same prayer, Susie. I prayed. I looked to God and I prayed, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want of me? And I was 3 years of praying the same prayer. I had a wood burner stove in the kitchen of this house, and I would put wood in it, and I had a little guitar, and I'd play my guitar, and I'd worship, and I'd just cry many times. Cried, and my heart was just like broken. And then finally, I had this one day where the Lord, I could feel his presence. You know that where all of a sudden the Lord comes real close to us and he speaks from his thoughts to our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I prayed the same prayer. I said, Lord, what do you want of me? And he said, love me where you're at. And I said, Lord, is that all you want? And he said, this is all I will ask of you, is to love him where I was at. Within 4 or 5 days, I was given another church. But God had to reconfigure. He had to break the old, the outer man, the outer man perish. And that grace to go through that breaking, I thank God for it. I thank God that I wasn't stuck in a church without love and going nowhere without faith. And God was just moved in, and none of the things I was concerned about previously were an issue. Hmm. And this is, so I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, as I'm listening to you, Francis, you know, we all, it seems, have these valleys of decision where that breaking opportunity, it's an invitation to surrender and humility to say, have your way in me. You know, Jesus had it in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, if it be your will, may this cup pass from me, but nevertheless glorify your name. And I feel like I'm just getting this word picture in my mind as you're talking, this valley of decision where, you know, some, they come through with their flesh intact and their destiny and their dreams and all the potential in the valley, like dry bones, because they won't themselves submit to his hand. But don't you feel like when you do submit, anything that you die of that Jesus is saying, can I have that? It just pales in comparison to what you experience of God on the other side.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes, of course. You know, you can coax people. You can even respond on a certain level. But, you know, he really can do a good job. You know, I mean, he really can. He knows what he's doing. It's open heart surgery time, and there is no anesthesia. You know, you're gonna feel the pain of it. You're gonna feel the loss, but it's the loss, giving it up, that gives us the presence. We're swapping the artificial me for the real guy that I want to be. And that the whole theme of humility, it's just the substructure. It's the path that leads us into a transformed heart.
Mm. You know, Scripture says anything done apart from faith is sin, and you don't often hear sermons about that. But when I think of this breaking process, depending what our need is, I mean, I'm trying to think of, I think it was even in Luke where John the Baptist was, you know, people were like, what should I do? And he's like, well, you don't defraud people. Well, you give money to the poor. Yeah. Like, he had a different prescription because there was a heart connection. And when we each come to a place where it's a different kind of death. And I think I've shared this on the show before, but I had Lyme disease in my early years as a young mom, and I had a pretty terrible health relapse a few years ago. And at first they thought it was Lyme, but then it was acting like something different. It was a terrible, terrible journey for me, very painful. But
terrible
what came
time.
Out of that was more fear, because fear was something I dealt with. And one of my intercessors, who's got full permission to smack me upside the head anytime I need it, she said to me, "You are squirming in fear about what are you boiling this down to?" Because she said, "I see it backing you in a corner." And I said, "Well, I think I fear a worse debilitating neurological disease, because this is so terrible." And she says, "Well, you have to die." And I'm like, "I don't think I can." And she said the best thing. She goes, "The devil can't attack a corpse. Die." The devil can't attack a corpse. And sometimes you have to die to man's praise, man's opinion, trying to get your identity from the thing that you do. I mean, those are all things that are crossroads. Yeah.
Yeah. And if without that, you know, you think about that, and this is just going to sound like the worst false doctrine you ever heard, but there was a devil in paradise, and there was something that is allowed. Satan demanded permission to sift Peter like wheat. We need, I'm not even going to go there, but we need a real adversary who's not pulling punches, who's not in it for the money, who will do the dirty work. Leave that thought. I can't leave that thought out there.
Okay.
I'm just saying that the Jesus said, "You want to come after me? Here, I have a cross, just your size." If it was up to me, I'd like to, and I had to die by a choice, I would like to die overeating chocolate ice cream or cheesecake, you know. But God has something that gets to the real me, gets to that part of me that, you know, I don't even like. It gets to that part of me that is vain and is greedy and fearful and all those accumulative deeds of the flesh that he has to circumcise our hearts. He has to break us of that outer man so that we can truly live.
Yeah.
You know,
and freedom that he has for us. We need to pause here, Pastor, for our final break. And when we come back, I want to delve into a little bit to your chapter titled The Tent of Meeting, where you talk about certain times in the journey God will call us out of the familiar for a purpose. And maybe it's a springboard, what we've just been talking about, talking to retired pastor, author Francis Frangipane, and his book that we're drawing from, again, was written or released in 1986. But the truths in the book, I feel like, are just so timely today. Wow. The title is Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. We've got 5 copies. If you want in on the drawing, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Can't get enough of that song. There will be healing. Hallelujah. Isn't that fantastic? Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to Francis Frangipane. And he's a retired pastor. He's written a number of books. And this one, again, released in 1986. But there's so many truths in this book that I think are just ringing loud today. The title, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. We've got 5 copies. I want to give you the subtitle, A Penetrating Study of the Human Heart and How God Prepares It for His Glory. You sure can text the word book if you want in on the drawing. The number is 877-933-2484. And this is from the chapter, The Tent of Meeting. I'll just read a bit, if I could, Pastor, and have you speak to it. You're right. There are certain times when the Lord calls us out of the routine of our daily lives. These are special seasons where His only command is, seek my face. He has something precious and vitally important to give us that the familiar pattern of our daily devotions just cannot accommodate. During such times, people are often delivered of sins that have plagued them for years. Others discover a depth in their walk with God that leads to greater effectiveness in ministry and prayer. Still others experience breakthroughs in their families and are used by God to see loved ones brought into the kingdom. Talk about that kind of season. Is this something God initiates? Is it something that we go forward and go, you know what, when I draw near, He's going to draw near to me? Talk about that whole idea of leaving the familiar.
Yeah, and you know, we can't get from where we are to where the breakthrough is without having a seeking heart. That idea that God is not just, stationary, if that's the right word, that He's not just aloof and watching everything, but the Scripture says that the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. God is seeking something from mankind. He has, at another place in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about the good seed and the seed that the birds of the air ate and the rocky ground didn't have much soil. But then He says, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came and choked it, and it yielded no crop. It yielded no crop. I used to live in Iowa, and everywhere in the end of the summer, there's massive corn stalks and trees, and it's a time of harvest, and the farmer is watching because he's looking for that harvest. And Jesus, in this Mark chapter 4, says, other seeds fell on the good soil, and they grew up and increased, and they yielded a crop and produced it 30, 60, and 100 fold. Jesus is speaking about if we receive the word, if we receive the word of the kingdom, if we'll receive it and we'll nurture it and we'll water it. I remember one time we were living in Hawaii, my wife and I, and I was just a guy from New Jersey. We didn't have gardens. We didn't even have trees where I lived. But we were in this place in Hawaii, and there was a field with horses in it. And I decided I'm gonna fertilize. I'm gonna make a little garden. And I never had done this before. And I got to the rows that I made, and I planted seeds, and the seeds sprouted. But when the seeds sprouted, I didn't recognize them because they didn't look like a little cabbage. They didn't look like a little ear of corn, and that grew into it. It didn't look like this is what I was after, but it was. The thing that we're after, it is that we can have true fellowship with God, that we can walk a true walk with God, that we could, we don't have to fake our spirituality. Like I read earlier, I quoted earlier, that the Father is seeking, God is seeking something from Francis. He's seeking something from Susie. He's seeking the depth of heart. There's, in the beginning of time, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That's His goal. He hasn't switch gears and said, well, I mean, that didn't work. Let me try something else. He is steadfast on His quest to have a Christ-like Francis, a Christ-like Susan, a Christ-like church. He is going to have that. And I want to say for everyone who is struggling against sin, everyone who is fighting against bitterness or fear or pain, stay with it. Don't back off. Don't close your eyes. Look it square in the face and call upon the name of God. Wherever it's the place in you that you need to ask for forgiveness, then ask for forgiveness. Don't worry about whether the other party is going to be justified and you're not going to be vindicated. Forget about all that. There's only two beings that you need to be aware of, God and yourself. And so you want to cast your care upon him and not let your heart get swamped or infected or toxic because of the root of bitterness that it sprung up. And we need to know the difference between the root of Christ that bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold and that which is just a toxic weed growing in church clothes but not producing fruit.
Wow. Francis, thank you so much for your time. As we get ready to wrap here, I want to read one more paragraph from the book, Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. Francis writes this, "The call and desire of God is for our worship to be in spirit and in truth. Through the provision of Jesus Christ, we can be as close to God as our desires will take us." Hear that again, friend. Through the provision of Jesus Christ, we can be as close to God as our desires will take us. The limits are not on God's side, but on ours. With transcendent wonder and holy fear, we can bow and worship in the reality of his majesty. Through Jesus, we can draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. We can actually enter and abide in the holy place of God. Francis, thank you for writing such a powerful book and the way that you've walked with God, and that you're just, your message of Christ-likeness has just been an amazing one for me. God bless you, sir. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it so much. As we get ready to wrap here, we're just going to put on a song, Beautiful Jesus. I just want you to just exhale. Take just a minute before you go about the rest of your busy day, and I'll be back to close us out. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays today. I pray you have a very blessed rest of your day. Hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.